Matthew chapter 17 contains an interesting account of the disciples' relationship with Jesus on this very special occasion. We find the disciples expressing some doubt, a lack of faith, and Jesus deals with this issue as he often did with his disciples. On this particular occasion, beginning with verse 14, a man comes to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, I have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." It was not an infrequent occurrence in the relationship of Jesus and his disciples for him to teach them further about their faith or their doubting. The development of faith will send us to majestic heights of spiritual experiences, or the lack of it will send us to carnal depths of anxiety and despair. The disciples were puzzled on this occasion, not fully aware of the fact that their doubting and their lack of faith did not permit them to carry through with their program of ministry to those who were sick and possessed. On another occasion, the lack of faith brought fear to Peter. Flip back a few chapters to chapter 14 in the book of Matthew also, and we find Jesus sending the multitudes away. He'd been teaching them, and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Again, of course, we have illustrated the fact that the disciples, particularly Peter on this occasion, has a problem with belief, with faith, the development of his own personal faith. In this particular case, as well as the other, we read a moment ago from Matthew chapter 17, the lack of faith prevents us from fulfilling our ministry. And we discover that right on. The disciples discovered that, but still found difficulty in the development of their faith. Haven't you at times tried to apply your faith to your problems and they still won't go away? Have you exercised at times all the faith that you have and you still have not grown spiritually and you find yourself somewhat empty and inept and unable to perform and to follow through with your spiritual obligations? But the fact is that faith never fails us, but we often fail faith. And because of that, we have difficulties similar to those of the disciples in the development and the course of faith. Someone said faith is like a seed, and I suppose they gathered that information and that truism from the parable of the soils that Jesus taught. Coming from that, we reflect upon the fact that the seed is planted and it begins to sprout in good soil. And then it soon brings forth blossoms, and those blossoms develop and bring forth fruit. And then it's harvest time, and faith brings fruition into our lives. And so indeed faith is like a seed planted in the soil of humankind. But I like to look at faith this morning in terms of five stages. I like to think in terms of faith growing within us, first as a nesting stage, and then as a testing stage. Our faith is put to the test in the early ongoings of development of our faith. And then there is what we call the investing phase, and then the arresting phase, and then finally the cresting stage. There are five of them. And if we look very carefully at them, we'll see faith developing from a very small embryo of life to that of a giant of spiritual qualifications and maturity. And I think we see this in the life of Christ, because his life illustrates these stages of development. Let's see if that's not true. According to Luke, at the age of 12, Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem with his parents for the festivities and the feast days, and they lost track of him and took him 3 days to find him, and they finally found him in the temple discussing the law with the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders of the city of Jerusalem. When questioned about that, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Jesus was in the nesting stage of the development of his faith and belief as a human being. And then we see him, after his baptism, going into the wilderness for 40 days, fasting, and being tempted by Satan, and thus setting the stage for the testing of his will and his faith. And then he proceeded very rapidly to gather his own disciples, as he preached and taught in the provinces of Galilee and Judea. It was then that he invested himself, gave of himself, made a commitment to the people of Judea and Galilee. That's the investing stage of faith. And then finally, his ultimate surrender to the Father when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." In the garden where he was arrested, and there, ultimately, because of his commitment and his surrendering and submission to the Father's will, he was experiencing the arresting phase, that part of the development of faith where troublesome times make it very difficult to maintain a certain height and peak of faith. But it is manifested truly when we commit ourselves and surrender ourselves to his will. And then finally, the cresting stage, and that was his victory over death, the resurrection from the grave, the empty tomb testifying of the ultimate faith of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I'd like for us today to examine our own personal lives as we take a look at these five stages of faith development. The first one, we said, was the nesting stage of faith. Here the idea is that faith is as an egg deposited in a bird's nest, or like a seed planted in the ground. Here it is time for incubation, time for germination, time for embryonic development and growth. It is as Jesus taught, good seed deposited in good soil will produce a living plant. It is in recognition of God's power in us. As Paul said to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we cast forth our seed of faith. We accept God's message where we are. And as Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. And so we allow it to grow and to develop until it becomes a living plant. It is within us, not out somewhere, not in some secret place that we have to pray for in order for us to receive it, but it's within us, a matter of development, a matter of beginning, illustrated by the man who was searching for wisdom and knowledge. And he was told of a guru who lived in a mountain peak some distance away, and so he made his journey to that place. And there before the guru, he pleaded for information as to where he might find wisdom and knowledge. And the old ancient guru said to him simply this, "Where can you find your horse?" What an odd reply. What an odd response. Where can you find your horse? Well, of course, he had ridden his horse up to the mountain, and there is where he left him. And the guru said, "Go find your horse, because there is where wisdom is. It's within you. I do not possess that wisdom for you. I cannot give it to you. You have it within yourself." And so it is with faith, the nesting stage of the development of faith. And then there's the testing stage of faith. We must test the waters of faith like Peter did. Until we do, we'll not know if our faith is developing. Yes, it's an awesome experience, of course, to begin to drown in the waters around you. But let us remember that we must experience the test. We must be challenged in the development of our faith. True, the disciples witnessed the walking of Jesus on the water. True, they petitioned him to welcome them to come. And it was Peter, of course, who usually was the instigator of things, was the first to leave the boat to walk on the water. The first step he took seemed to be all right, but the second step, he took his eyes off of Jesus, focused them rather on the tempestuous winds and the riotous waves, and therefore found himself floundering in the water, about to be drowned. It is the trying of faith. It is answering the question, will it work? Will it work in my life? It is putting faith into practice. It is not like the one talent man who had little or no faith and went and hid his talent in the ground. But it is the challenging aspect of faith as it is being tested in our own lives as we personally give ourselves in commitment to the Lord Jesus by faith. The testing stage of faith. And then thirdly, there's the investing phase of faith. Now it's commitment time. Now the rubber touches the road. Now it's time to give our resources and self. Now it's time to be counted. Or to count, be counted out. It's investment time, the investment of time, energy, and finances. And truly, it is that time. It's a pivotal time. A time when we go forward or we go backward. Either or. It is a time for self-denial, taking up our cross and following Jesus. After all, that was his reply to those who came, saying to him, "Good Master, what may we do?" And he said, "Take up your cross. Deny self, take up your cross, and follow me." We must be willing to invest everything. For Jesus said, "You must love me with all of your soul, mind, and body." So every fiber of our being, every essence of our existence, every element of our breathing is to be invested in Christ Jesus, in faith and development towards him. That's the investing stage. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to put all of our money down on the table for him? Are we willing to give him our time? Expend our energy. Exercise our talents and our gifts to him. Well, if you want to have an investing faith, if you want to develop to that extent, then you must do that. It's essential, it's necessary, because you and I are not going to be able to pass through the arresting phase without having passed through the investing stage. And so here we are at the arresting development stage of faith in our lives. Here the attempt is to catch our sight. Here we must realize that the circumstances of life are there to divert us from our objectives. And the Lord knows how much diversion there is in our world today. How the world is using every effort, every bit of strategy on their part to divert us and to take away our attention and focus on the Lord Jesus. Trials and difficulties befront us. Troubles block us. Defeat is a step away. It's there to hound us. It's there to distract us. It's there to take us from the proven track, from the course of deliverance through faith. Remember, the conditions we face are just that, though. Only arresting, only temporary, not here forever. Thank God for that. James has something to say to us about our troubles, our problems, our difficulties in terms of faith. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." And so James exhorts us, in terms of dealing with the trials and the difficulties of life, knowing that they test us, knowing that they're there to determine whether we are genuinely involved in the development of faith, whether we're sincere, and whether we've submitted ourselves totally and completely to him. In verse 12, he also says, "Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." We can move through this stage of development. We can pass through the arresting phase. We can accomplish. We can develop our faith to that extent. And then there's the cresting phase of faith's development. The finality, the victory, is the crowning stage of faith. It's the point of accomplishment. It is when the mountain is moved. It's when success is achieved. It's when a habit is broken. It's when a bone is healed. It's when the chains are loosed. It's when problems are solved. It's when fears are quieted. It's when hope is renewed. And it's when salvation has reached reality. It is, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 1 John 5 and 4, John says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And so we must hold on, never believe in never. The storms will pass and the birds will come out to sing again. The clouds will disappear. The overcast will break up. And the sunshine will penetrate the atmosphere of life and bring us hope, renewed energy, and faith has reached its cresting in this life. But of course, the finality of it all is in the trumpet sound at the last day. The final hour, that's our concern, that's our interest. It is the crowning facet of faith. It is the cresting phase of the development of faith. I don't know where you are in all of this scheme, in all of this process, but the development of faith is a process. You and I don't wake up one morning and we're full of faith, exuberant for the Lord, righteously inclined, full of spiritual compassion, and ready to minister. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a matter of development. And time will answer whether or not we will reach that cresting stage. Wherever you are, believe that God has the power to do whatever He wants to do in your life, and whatever you will allow Him to do, He will do no more than that which you allow. If you'd rather not open the door for Him, then He'll not enter in. Remember, the handle is not on His side, but it is on your side. He'll not open that door. You must open it yourself as you begin the development of faith. Faith in its finality, of course, comes from our primary obedience to the gospel of Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, the Scriptures teach us. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so the Scriptures teach us. A man is told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The Scriptures teach us that we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or He'll not confess us before the Father in heaven. They teach us to repent, or we shall all likewise perish, as others have. Wherever we are in the development of our faith, it's indicated by obedience to the gospel of Christ, as outlined in those Scriptures. May we encourage you to respond to the invitation of Christ today in the development of your faith as you move through these stages and phases of faith. And may we all one day, in equal accord, experience the cresting of faith, the victory. The victory is ours. The challenge is God's. Will you come as we stand and as we sing?